very young president of the United States, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, would make appearances in our state, and you did some news coverage there?
Well, in a way, yeah, of course, whenever he came to Oklahoma, but I had three different occasions with Kennedy. The first one, and this is going back now, the first occasion I had was when I was on a news team that we set up to cover the 1956 election that was between Adlai Stevenson and Dwight Eisenhower. Eisenhower was running for re-election in 56. His vice president was Richard Nixon. Adlai Stevenson had run against him in 52. He was the governor of Illinois. He lost in 52. He came back, got the nomination for the Democrats again in 56, and ran against him again. And his running mate at that time ended up being Estes Kefauver, a senator from Tennessee. But Kefauver had a major battle at the Democratic convention with a young fellow from Massachusetts named John Kennedy, who was a senator at that time. When Kefauver and Stevenson lost the election in 56, Kennedy was immediately on the road to the presidency. In fact, it started before then, but it wasn't as obvious as it was the day after the election in November. Sometime in that time frame, the winter of 57, it was shortly before I left to come to Tulsa, but I'm going to say it could have happened in late November, December, January, or February of 56, 57, he made a speaking engagement in Champaign-Urbana. I had been pushing our station in Champaign, which mainly relied on CBS News, to do more local news coverage. So we covered things like the Hungarian revolt when they brought a bunch of Hungarian refugees to Champaign-Urbana and housed them there. We covered things like the fluoride debates, which were going on all over the country. An engineer and I usually went out to do these remote broadcasts to cover this stuff. They'd never done this before. That's how I sort of got into news, you might say, while I was still in school at the university. The newspaper, by the way, owned our radio station, the News Gazette. So I saw in the paper that Kennedy was going to make a speaking engagement in Champaign or Urbana, one of the two, probably at the university. So I thought, we ought to go out there and cover him, because this guy is going to be running. He is running for president right now. I mean, Kefauver was done. Stevenson was done. There was nobody else on the horizon. And he almost got the vice presidential nomination, which would have been a disaster for him, I think. Had Stevenson won, I think it would have been a bad thing. But nonetheless, I said, we got to cover him. So Larry Stewart, our general manager, said, oh, okay, get it set up. You and Merle go out there and cover. Merle's the engineer. He carries the equipment. I'm the broadcast star. And you know that, John. But anyway, we went out to this little airport in Champaign. I think it was a university sort of owned or supported airstrip. We set up, and it was cold. Believe me, it was so darn cold. You couldn't believe it. And of course, winters on the plains of Illinois really can get a little bit ugly. But it was cold. Fortunately, it wasn't raining or snowing. So we went out to the airport. We got there about an hour ahead of time. Weren't sure when the plane was coming in, but we had a general idea. So we set up our equipment. There was a little house, maybe twice as big as the studio we're sitting in right now, that there was nobody in at the time. So we drove the station wagon, got permission to go onto the tarmac. We had a portable generator. We plugged in all the equipment. We're ready to go, just like you did when you came over here. We're ready to record, got a tape recorder, ready to roll, tested everything. It was all working great. And I got extra long mic cords, like 100 or 200 feet of mic cords, so I could walk out and go wherever he was going to go. I just wanted to ask him two or three questions because I figured I couldn't keep him for very long. And nobody else was there at the time we arrived. A little plane comes in, taxis up to where we are. He gets off the plane, steps off the wing, and then steps down onto the ground, just a suit, no overcoat, has a briefcase in his hand. And he walks over toward me. He sees me with a microphone, and I said, Senator, I wonder if I could just have a couple of questions with you. He said, yeah, that'd be fine. He said, let's go inside where it's warm. And I thought, oh, boy, go inside where it's warm. Well, I knew I had enough mic cord to get through that door, and the engineer didn't have to move the station wagon. But what I wasn't expecting was when I walk over to go through that door, the place was packed. There were probably 150 people in there at the time, many of them reporters. And I'm dead. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. I told Merle, I said, I'm never going to get anything. Because when I walked in the door at the back of the room. If you can envision the room of being a rectangle, Kennedy walks in, and he goes right up to the front of the room, the door where I came from off the tarmac was in the back, far left, and I walk in. There's no way in the world I'm going to get to the front of the room. I walk across the back of the room. I'm right up against the wall. I'm standing. I got as far to the center as I could. And so I'm thinking, this is a waste of time, because he didn't wait for me at all. He went right on up to the rostrum. Whoever was hosting him got up, introduced him, and said, now, the senator will take a few questions here. If anybody wants to ask anything, that'd be fine. He'd be glad to talk to you, but he's going to have to get on the road because he's got this luncheon engagement. So Kennedy gets up, gets a little bit of a hand from the people in the crowd. As I said, most of them press, and they're not big on applauding, but anyway, he got a hand. He said, okay, I'd be glad to take a few questions. And I want to start with that young man right back there. And I'm standing in the back of the room. I almost fell over. He said, what do you got? And I said, well, and I asked him two questions. And he answered the first one. I wish I could remember what they were. And then I asked him another one. I had a third one, but I wasn't going to press my luck. Ask him a second one. He answered that one. All these people are standing there, and as soon as he points to me and they turn around looking at him, oh, who is he? What is he doing here? Well, I was a guy that set up on the tarmac in 20-degree weather, and he said, let's go inside and I'll talk to you. And he gave me the first two questions. We got them recorded, come back to the station. And the station manager just said, how did you get those? I told him the story, and that's exactly what happened. I had a great respect for Kennedy at that time for what he did.
I'm thinking, if you stood behind there with that microphone, how did you get your microphone out to him?
I didn't have to, because fortunately I had a decent PA system. I just held it up, and the PA system carried it out to me.
And that was good enough quality.
It was good enough for what we were doing.
That was very nice of him.
Another quick story was down here in Tulsa, where he was in the process of campaigning, and he came to take an overview of northeast Oklahoma and the lakes area at the invitation of Senator Monroney and Senator Kerr. So he came in, and we had a new governor, Howard Edmondson, and American Airlines offered an airplane, which could hold about 60, 70 people, I guess. That's just a guess on my part. But it was a regular airliner, two-motor airliner. So they offered that, and then they invited some of the press to go along with them. Well, you had all your political bigwigs. You had Senator Kennedy. You had the two other senators, Monroney, and you had Kerr. You had the governor. You had the lieutenant governor. George Nye, I think, may have been lieutenant governor at that time. And a list goes on and on about all these different people that were getting on this airplane. And I'd gotten acquainted with a reporter at the newspaper named Troy Gordon, who was just a wonderful columnist, wrote funny, funny, great articles. He and his wife both did. And I got acquainted with Troy. So we're standing back. And then so now we'll take the press, and the press can go on, just find a seat somewhere. Troy and I are at the very back of the line. So we're getting ready to walk up the steps. You had to walk out on the tarmac and walk up the steps. So we're walking up the steps, and I looked at Troy, and he looked at me, and I said, boy, I tell you, this would be a mess if this thing went down, wouldn't it? Or something to that effect, you know, just speculating on the plane crashing. And he said, yeah, I can see the paper now. Also on board. And I thought that was one of the greatest lines, but he had such a great sense of humor, and that was the perfect line for also on board. The other story about Kennedy was when he came to visit Robert Kerr, the senator, near Poto in a place called Big Cedar. He came in on a helicopter, and Harry Wilson, the newsman, Clayton Vaughn, the newsman, we were all working at KAKC at the time, and we had this guy that was a friend of ours that was a pilot. He said, let's fly down there and see Kennedy come in. We went out and got in his plane out at the airport and flew down there, got lost on the way. He saw a windsock on a barn as we were going down there, and he landed on this field, pulled up over to this barn. There's a farmer standing there next to a hay wagon, and so what do you guys want? And the pilot said, tell me which way is Poto. It's that way, about 40 miles. Okay, thanks. And so I'll find it. So he got back in the plane, turned around, took off, taking off into the wind. He didn't see this big bar ditch right in the middle of this field. And we came off of that thing in a big hurry. As soon as that ditch showed up, he hadn't seen when he came in and landed. So we got back up in the air, got down to Poto. He landed, got in a car, and drove out to this intersection, which was the marrying of two roads. They had built these roads, and I don't know what purpose it served, but it was a lovely big intersection, and they were going to dedicate this highway. That's what Kennedy was there for as a guest of Kerr. All the same people were there, Edmondson and all the senators and the governors. Everybody was down there. It was a great time, and I took some fantastic pictures that you've seen of Senator Kennedy, or President Kennedy at that time. He was the president. The first two times, he was only a senator. But they were marvelous, and you could see how close I was to him. I probably wasn't any further away from him than I am from you right now, maybe 4 or 5 feet. And yet, no wonder somebody from long distance put a bullet through him. At that time, anybody in that group, anybody in that crowd could have done something so horrible. I mean, it really was just amazing. The lack, hey, he had the Secret Service there, but where were they? You didn't see them in any of our pictures that I had.
And that year would have been?
That would have been in October of 61, 2 years before.
63 then, of course.
Yeah.
In November, he was assassinated.
Yeah. I wasn't in a single picture, by the way. I took all the pictures of Clayton and Harry and the senator and all the other dignitaries, and nobody bothered to take a picture of me.
Did you or Clayton, anybody, get to ask him a question?
No.
Or get up close to
no,
him?
No, they wouldn't allow any of that, huh?
But that was quite a congregation.
It was. And then after they got through, Kennedy is walking off the platform. He is almost to the ground. And somebody remembered they hadn't dedicated the highway. So he had to come back up and read something that they gave him to read because it had been funded by federal funds to a great extent.
And that's the reason he was there.
That was the reason he was there. It really wasn't the reason he was there. He was there to have a good time at Senator Kerr's ranch, which is where he went out and spent the night. I don't know where Air Force One was, but he came in on a helicopter. In fact, I have a shot of the helicopter right before it landed, and there was more than one helicopter there, too, I think. So probably that was press and Secret Service.
And it shows you the strength and the power of Senator Robert Kerr because it was because of him that the President of the United States came in.
Exactly.
And he probably was the most powerful senator we've ever had.
There was one other factor that plays into that now that you brought it up, and that was Howard Edmondson, from almost the very beginning of Kennedy's campaign, was a major supporter. In fact, he was one of the few Democrats in this state that was really, really wound up with Kennedy. And an interesting sidebar to that, when Senator Kerr died, Edmondson resigned. This was thought out quite a ways ahead of time. Edmondson resigned. George Nye would succeed into the governorship for about a month, as I recall. And then he would appoint Edmondson as the replacement senator for Kerr to fulfill the rest of his term. Now, a lot of people had a lot of problems with that for some reason. Well, why is he doing that? You know, what business he have going to Washington? Well, what business he had in Washington was he was close to Kennedy, and Kennedy was the president. Had Kennedy not died when Edmondson ran for the Senate job again, I think in 64, Kennedy would have been here to campaign for him and may have let him win the, as it was, he lost out on the Democratic nomination to Fred Harris. But that was the best move that could have been made, in my political opinion, that Edmondson went to Washington.
Mm-hmm.